What you need to know first and foremost is, yo, what's going on? It's your boy Scott Kaplan. I am in today for Sedano and LZ. Although Sedano will be on the phone later on today, Ramona Shelbourne still coming up. If you missed Kevin Harlan earlier, he was great. You can go back and find that on our podcast on ESPNLosAngeles.com. Morongo, play it safe, good times. Hey, by the way, Morongo, great TV commercials. Just a little feedback there for you. Time for what you need to know, and then I'm coming to your phone calls. Laker fans, I'm asking you right now, do you care about last night's result, really? I mean, to me, and you guys tell me, wasn't the ring ceremony amazing? Like, I don't care what happened in the game. I went back and watched the ring ceremony today and didn't even watch the game again today. I'm getting to your calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Greg Bergman, what you need to know? What do we need to know, Greg?
All right, so I got a couple here so you can get to the phone calls real quick here. This one is one of my favorite stories that I read today. What's the best way to describe it? So Pope Francis is an 84-year-old man, and a couple of months back he got in trouble because his official Pope account liked a Facebook or an Instagram model's account. And that they thought it was a pretty big deal. Well, he did it again, Scott. He did it again to a model named Margot Fox. Do you think that this is actually the Pope on Instagram liking photos of lingerie models? or is there just somebody on his account doing it himself?
All right, so first of all, I'm a Pope fan, okay? Take it from me, the Hebrew brother in the house. I'm a fan of this Pope. I don't know why a few years ago when he was coming into office, I was sitting there watching this thing. I was waiting for this pigeon or some smoke. I don't know why I got into it. I don't know why. It's interesting to me. I like this Pope. I like this guy. You know, he's very real guy. You know, I see him. He's down on his hands and knees. He's cleaning the feet of people. You know, homeless folks. He's cleaning their feet. It's like, I'm not better than anybody. I like this Pope. He's a good Pope, you know? And so is it him operating his Instagram account? I doubt it. But let's assume for a moment it is. So what if the Pope likes an Instagram lingerie model's pictures? Are they real racy? And even if they are, you know what? He may have made his vow, but he's still a dude, okay? And he likes what he sees. And by the way, that's God's beauty right there on display.
So I mean, no very problem. Very much so. I mean, she's in a one-piece bikini, and you can't see her face, but you can see her entire body, and that's about it.
Hey, Laura, what is a one-piece bikini? Are you familiar with this?
I am so sorry. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, me neither.
The one-piece bikini? I guess it wouldn't be a one-piece bathing suit. Apologize for my misspoken
words. I want to make sure I understand, dude. I want to make sure I know what I'm looking at. I mean, hey, I don't know. Maybe the Pope really likes the one-piece bikini. I don't know.
I'm not good at the whole speaking thing.
Right.
The speaking thing is a problem for me. It's really what it is.
Right.
Let him live, man. Let him live.
Yeah.
Man,
all right. Hey, good for him. Good for him. He knows what he likes. That's cool. Good for him. All right, this is the next one, and I think Laura needs to talk about this one as well, but I want to get your thought first, Scott. So there is a podcast called Oops, and they started to talk about something over the last couple days of Christmas presents and what is acceptable to give to your significant other. Mm-hmm. They use the word girlfriend. I'm going to say significant other. Mm-hmm. And the question was, why is cash a bad girlfriend gift?
You mean the girlfriend giving it to the boyfriend or the boyfriend
giving
it to the girlfriend?
No, the boyfriend giving it to the girlfriend or significant other.
Okay, because I just want to say one thing right now. Like if my girlfriend showed up on Christmas Eve, like tomorrow night when we all get together, if she handed me an envelope and inside of there was cash, I'd be like, honey, that's a great gift.
Now, I'd be ecstatic.
Not only is it a great gift, but the expectation, of course, would be where am I going to spend that cash? On her.
Right. But flip it now. Why is it a bad gift from you to your girlfriend?
All right. Laura, why would it be bad for a guy to give a girl cash if they're dating, if they're boyfriend, girlfriend? Why would that be a bad thing?
Okay. I don't personally think it's a bad thing, but I can see why. Because remember how we talked about you don't give a gift card to the girlfriend or significant other because there's no thought behind it? Mm-hmm. I think that's where it might be a bad thing because you're like, oh, here's X amount of money, go do whatever you want.
Right.
You see, that's the there's thought the problem behind it.
Right. There's so, the okay.
The problem is the amount. So.
No.
Yes, the amount. Exactly.
No, it is. The problem is the amount. Here's what I mean. Okay. Let's say you bought a gift for your significant other And let's say you spent $200 on that gift, okay? Hmm? But let's say you gave that significant other $200 in cash. She doesn't want that cash. She wants you to have gone somewhere, thought about it, purchased it, packaged it, wrapped it, delivered it, and handed it off. She wants the thought behind it, not the money behind it. So in other words, you would have to triple, quadruple your cash to what your actual gift would be, in my opinion.
So what is the acceptable amount of cash that needs to be to give it to your girlfriend? Is it
$500? No.
Is it $1,000?
No, I don't think it's the money, though. It really, at least...
It's not the money.
No, it's not. Like, look, we have females that listen to us, to the show. They should call and be like, it's not about, I don't think it's about the money. As a female, I personally don't think it's about the money. I've given gifts to people I've dated and I haven't even received a gift, but I knew they were in a tough time. So it's not about that. It's, I put thought into the gift that I'm giving you. Mm-hmm. And if you spend $10, I don't care. See? It's all about how much did. Do you know me know that it's something that I love and that I care, that I want, or that I appreciate?
See, I get this.
It's not about the money.
Laura, let me explain something to you about me, okay? I get women. See? I get women. Now, look, here's the key to all of this. I'm 50. I'm divorced. I got 4 kids and 3 daughters and a girlfriend now. A guy like me, at this stage of the game, I get women.
I can see that. Greg, I don't know, Greg.
No, I'm not. I don't give cash. This was the question on the podcast. But I think it is a valid question because there's never been one time in my life from the minute I was born till right now at 37 years old that if somebody gave me cash, I said, oh,
okay,
that's not a good gift.
Can I say something really quick? Now, let's say that the girl was hurting and, you know, her man was able to give her whatever cash, right? Even if it's not a lot. And she needed it to pay a bill. And it's like, look, babe, instead of me buying you XYZ, a perfume or whatever, I'm going to give you this because I know you're in need. That's different. See, that's thoughtful. It's not It's not about just here it is, whatever. I don't have time.
But
to
I want to say one thing, and I'm going to get to your phone calls. Here it comes. But I want to say one thing. Guys think different than ladies. And here's the deal. Guys would always rather have the cash. I'll give you an example. Sure. A friend of mine gave me a gift recently, and it was a very, very thoughtful gift. I mean, really thoughtful. Somebody who said, you know, Scott really loves cycling, and so as a cyclist, we're going to get him this gift. It was extremely thoughtful. And you know what I thought? This gift sucks. I wish they would have given me the cash.
So return it and get the cash.
It's too late.
That's the worst part about the whole thing.
All right, ladies, I'm looking for a couple of ladies' calls tonight. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I know you guys are out there. Jump in on this. Is cash a good or acceptable gift? All right, here we go. Let me go to the phones because I was talking some Lakers earlier. Let's jump right into it. Oh, and by the way, Ramona Shelburne, I'm sure, will have an opinion about this. She'll join us here shortly. Here's Eric in Covina. I'm with Scott Kaplan tonight in for Sedano and LZ. What's going on, E? Eric in Covina, talk to me, man. What'd they do, Laura? Talk to me. Tell me. What's going on.
They will be on and they won't talk. And then, you know, Sedano usually will be like, okay, next. And then they'll be like, hey, I'm here. I'm like, dude, I get it. You're on mute, but get it together. Live radio here.
Hey, look, it is live radio. And by the way, it's live radio in 2020 where one person is in downtown LA and another person is at home and another person is at home. And then there's phone calls that have to be fed. So here we go. Are we trying with Eric and Covina to get us started?
Yeah, we got them.
Okay.
All right. E, what's up, man?
Yeah, well, once I heard that, I said, okay, now we're on the air. Here we go.
Talk to me.
Well, hey, you know what? Being a longtime Laker fan, it's all about the ceremony. Too bad they got to play a game because of early. You can have a 3-hour ceremony, and I'm happy because they deserve it. It was a great ceremony. And the win, you know what? If the Clippers all that, they should have won by 30 points because, you know, they're running off a high off the game. And plus, this was the Clippers championship game. And they only beat them, by 10 points or so? I mean, so whatever. You know, we all these championships, you know, we're going to win number 18 this year. But the past 17 championships, you know, it's irrelevant because it's all about the rings. It's all about the rings, baby.
Yeah, those rings. You know, those rings were insane, dude. You see those rings? I've been watching videos of these rings all day. I'm like, this ring is honestly, I'm going to take this ring and I'm going to buy a house with this ring.
Well, I'm glad my wife didn't see it because she'd probably be wanting that for her birthday. Hey, why don't you get me something like that?
Dude, let me tell you what I want.
I'm a few feet short.
I want a replica ring.
I want
one that's fake. I want a fake one. Oh, you're going to give her cash?
No, you want cash. You just said you'd rather take the cash than a gift.
No, in this one, I'd rather have the ring, dog.
Well, you know what? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, here's a great story because you guys are talking about gifts. My father-in-law gave my mother-in-law a Christmas gift, one of her first Christmas gifts, and this was back in the time. They've been married for 63 years, was that he gave her a pot. And when she asked, what was this for? He said, so you can cook my beans.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go over?
Well, she uses it, but there's a dent on the corner of that pot because she threw it at him.
Yeah, right. I was going to say it. That didn't sound like that was going to go over too well. Eric, great call. Thanks for checking
in,
man. Appreciate
guys.
You, pal.
Take it easy.
Merry Christmas, buddy. Right. Here is Joseph checking in. This is Joseph in Huntington Park on 710 ESPN. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
It's going great. Yourself?
All right, pretty good, man. So, look, man, my opinion on last night's win, I've been watching the NBA religiously for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, most teams that play on ring night, ceremony night, they lose that opening game. Am I not right?
You're actually not right. And the only reason I know that you're not right, because normally here's what I'd say. I'd be like, you know what, dude, you're right. Exactly. You're exactly right. but the reason I know that you're actually dead wrong is because we researched this earlier in the day. I thought to myself the exact same thing. I thought, look, nobody cares about this game. Everybody's about the ring. There's so much emotion tonight. Nobody's concentration is on this game. Forget it. And believe me, it's all about LeBron. If LeBron cared, I got to crush these guys game one, they would have gone out there and given it everything they got. They didn't. They all know they got to watch their minutes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fine. But there is no way that ring ceremony was going to lead directly into let's play our best when we've got all these new people and all these new positions and we've got to come up with team chemistry. But here it is. You ready?
Right.
Greg, give the statistics, if you don't mind,
yep,
of teams who win a title and then what their record is game one of the next season.
So after last night's loss, the defending champions are 58-16 in regular season openers. The Lakers are now 11-6, and the last time a defending champion lost the opening game was to Golden State to Houston in 2016.
And what I asked, just so you know, Joseph, what I asked was, well, maybe LeBron just never cares after he wins a championship for game one. And so then, Greg, there's more statistics that actually tell you that LeBron has been very successful, right, on opening nights after championships.
This was his first loss on opening night after a championship. He is now 3-1.
See that, Joseph? You couldn't be more wrong, my friend. But all right. Hey, listen, now I hope you were listening out there, Joseph. You're like, wow, I actually got something out of this show today. I know, it's crazy. Here's Ronald in Glendale. I'm with Scott Kaplan on 710 ESPN, in for Sedano and LZ. Yo, Ronald, what's going on?
What's going on? How you doing, guys?
Doing great, man. What's going on with you? What are you up to?
I'm doing some Christmas shopping, listening to the radio while I get to the stores.
Really? Really? So you're like last-minute Christmas shopper? I understand that. I feel you. And are you finding stores open? You finding stuff out there?
I'm at the first shop.
All right, well, you'll have to let us know what's going on out there. All right, so what's happening? What do you think about last night's result? You care about the Lakers losing last night?
I was at the first game last year. I thought they would care and fight, but they lost last year, too, with the Clippers' first game opener. Same thing this year. I feel like regular season doesn't really matter, you know? And I think Clippers got our number, too.
Well, I think the Clippers won it last night. To them, it's important. There's this ongoing daily battle that you're just the Clippers and we're the big bad Lakers. And it doesn't matter how much you win, we're still the brand of LA. And while everybody said a year ago you were so much better, in the final analysis you choked like you normally would, and we went on to win another championship. So the fan base last year might have felt like, uh-oh. And this year everybody's like, who cares? Come on, it's one game. Got that ring. So I don't really think it was a big deal at all last night. I actually found the ring ceremony to be incredible. To have first responders give rings to the assistant coaches was a beautiful gesture, okay? Especially the way LA has been hit with COVID and the shutdowns and the ICU beds that have been occupied. I mean, Southern California and LA in particular has been hit very, very hard. So to have these first responders be a part of the ceremony, for the Lakers as an organization to reach out into the community, say, be part of it, I thought it was great. The families giving the congratulations as the guys went up to grab their rings was beautiful. As Kevin Harlan said earlier, it was so personal. It was so nice, you know, to see the wives, to see the children, to see the moms, dads, uncles, students. I thought it was really, really great. So the game itself and the result, not a big deal for me, but the ring ceremony was beautiful, and I want to get Ramona Shelbourne's opinion about it coming up. Also, what will Ramona tell us? Can you give cash to your significant other as a gift? What will Ramona say to that? What are you saying, Laura? Wait, who is this? Oh, Karen.
It's Karen.
You said Karen.
Cash,
excuse me.
Fine.
I'm sorry, Karen. I didn't hear that.
To myself. Cash.
Hi, Karen.
Is fine. Laura and I were talking about it. She asked me, what do you think? I wouldn't care. Cash? Okay. Thank you. I'll buy what I want. Thank
okay,
you.
But I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Would you have a number in mind that you thought, okay, you were going to spend this, but you've given it to me in cash instead? Is it enough? That's a guy's fear.
Yeah, see, I'm not materialistic. So I know some girls would go, you just gave me $50. No, see, I'm not like that. That's for me, and I know it sounds cliche, but it's the thought that counts, really. Mm-hmm. It's, I know, seriously, I mean it too. No, but one year my dad got my mom a broom and a dustpan, swear. He did.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do that, guys. Don't give a broom and a dustpan. Don't
do
it.
Yeah, that's what the guy Eric said. Wasn't it Eric or was it Joseph that said that his dad gave his mom a pot and he said, what's this for? To cook my beans. And then he told us about the dent that was in the pot.
Yeah, I heard that. I just remember my dad did that. We all just looked at him like, oh. So he made up for it the next day, got her a gift. But as far as cash goes, I can't give you an amount because that makes you sound real greedy. So whatever someone gives you, I'm happy with it. Does that sound
That sounds legit? Lovely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my goodness. Holiday music that just kind of slows things down a little bit.
Ooh.
Ramona Shelbourne, you like this?
I would try to sing, but that would be an insult to this song.
You don't even understand, Ramona. I screwed up the whole thing yesterday. You know, I was part of this Mason in Ireland holiday sing-off thing.
And okay.
I tried to come up with something sort of jazzy and sort of Rat Packy, sort of. And it just didn't go over at all. It just was a complete dud. I was like a comedian on the stage, and I was just bombing horribly, and nobody thought it was good or funny. Mason took his singing way too seriously and thinks he's way better than he is. Ireland violated the rules by writing his own lyrics, which was just a big kiss up to the Laker team that just won their championship. You know, so we couldn't do anything but say how creative it was and how awesome it was. And then LZ went Soul Brother on us, and it was amazing. So I screwed up my whole singing opportunity yesterday. You want to sing? We'll have you sing. It'd be great.
I always want to sing. But the problem is, like, what it sounds like in my head versus what it actually sounds like.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Yeah.
Not so good. Like, the only person who thinks I sing good is my 2-year-old son. And we've been singing Hanukkah every night for the past like 3 weeks. And I know Hanukkah is over, but for him, I mean, I figure it doesn't matter. Like, every night he says, more Hanukkah. And I was like, you want to do Hanukkah again? He's like, yeah, more Hanukkah. And then we get the menorah out again. And we tried to pass it off the other night without getting the menorah out. And he was like, no, no, no. And he was like, no, no. And he went over to the like menorah and pointed at it and said, like, you got to do the candles too. Like, he needs that. He wants the full Hanukkah experience. So I figure we're just going to be singing Hanukkah for another 3 weeks at least until he gets over it.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's kind of like when people don't take down their Christmas lights or take down their Christmas trees. Like, it's just totally Hanukkah every day. I understand. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've left my Christmas lights up for a few months. It was like March, and then I was like, we really should take those down, but I kind of like it. I've gotten used to it. And then I was like, should I just like leave them up so we don't have to put them next year? I mean, when does that threshold, right? I think it's like summer. I think it's like, if you're in summer, you might as well just leave them up. Right. But if it's still spring, take them down.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Ramona Shelburne is here, and I've got a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about. And we'll get to what I know you've been tweeting about a lot today, which is James Harden and an NBA investigation into COVID violations and then the cancellation tonight between Oklahoma City and Houston. So I definitely would like to get to that story coming up in just a matter of moments. But Ramona, give me some instant feedback on what you saw last night, be it ring ceremony or actual game and result, like just opening thought on the Lakers versus the Clippers last night.
I felt like the Clippers had a lot more to prove than the Lakers did, and they wanted that. You saw Paul George, like, you know, whatever you want to say about whatever Paul George said earlier, you know, when he kind of blamed Doc Rivers and, you know, made a lot of excuses. I mean, the guy showed up last night, and it's going to take a lot more than one game, but, like, you know, I thought that's the best way to answer your critics. It's the best way to, you know, to fulfill what you need to do. The Clippers were a little further along than I thought the Lakers, were, and I'm a little concerned about LeBron spraining his ankle. I don't know. I never think that's a good way to start off a year. But I just feel like that Laker team is going to take a minute. You know, like they just shortest off season. I think they're really trying to ramp up their guys slowly. So I don't want to overreact to anything I see from the Lakers for the next month.
Totally agree. I think you've got to play 15 to 20 games.
That's right.
To get yourself into not just game shape, but also into rotational shape, into chemistry shape. I mean, you know, we all look at this team as LeBron and AD, and I really do. It's LeBron, AD, and for me, it's everybody else who's a role player. But you still have to know how to work together. You got to know where to be in defensive sets. You've got to know where to be when you're putting your offense together. I mean, just, I know they're all basketball players, and they can go out and they can run up and down a floor. There's chemistry, there's teamwork, there's film study, there's a lot to it, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like, this group, like, you know, look, they got a pretty nice debut, I thought, from Dennis Schroeder. I thought it was interesting they started him because that was something that was important to him, and it's going to be something for them to manage, you know, to make sure he gets enough minutes. I mean, I think the biggest adjustment, honestly, looks like Montrezl Harrell. He has to figure out how to play alongside AD and LeBron. I think Harrell and Schroeder are going to be great together. Like, they have the, like, if you close your eyes, you can see Schroeder doing a rough approximation of that pick and roll that Harrell and Lou Williams used to run, right, with the Clippers. So that, but I don't think Montrez knows how to play as well alongside of Anthony Davis yet. I think that's an evolving situation. And I think, like, LeBron makes everyone better. LeBron's great, but, like, it's just going to take a minute for him to find his role. But honestly, like, I thought it was a pretty good debut. Other than LeBron spraining his ankle, I thought that was pretty good for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I remember 2 years ago when LeBron got hurt early, and I can recall being at a Rams game, and it was probably a Monday night football game or a Sunday night football game, and LeBron and the entire Laker team was there, and I was walking behind him on the field as he was going from the tunnel at the Coliseum all the way to, like, the hospitality on the other end of the field, and I walked behind him as I was trying to analyze his gait. How's he walking? How's he looking? Does he look like he's got a hurt ankle? Can he come back? Can he jump? Could he run? And you just don't want to see anybody this early in the season deal with any kind of things that could become nagging. So, again, I'll just say this, Ramona, and I want your kind of takeaway. Do you put any stock into game one? I personally do not.
Well, if you're talking Lakers and Clippers, no. If you're talking the first game where we saw Brooklyn and the Warriors last night, yes. I thought the Warriors looked really bad. Like, that first game was, I don't know who, is it Brooklyn that looks good or the Warriors that look bad?
Didn't know. Wasn't sure.
I mean, honestly, when I saw that last night, I was like, oh, yeah, the Warriors aren't going back to the playoffs. Nope. Like, that looks so bad.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn looks really, really good. Like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie didn't even play that much. They were up by 30.
I know. I felt like the same thing, though. I felt like the Clippers really wanted this, and I felt like Brooklyn really wanted to come out and make a statement
right away.
And KD did. And, you know, I think for Steve Nash, that was a great way to get started in his coaching career. So I thought, you know, also that, like, they really loaded up and wanted it. Kind of the way I felt like the Lakers in the first game in the bubble against the Clippers. Like, really, that was a big, important game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Ramona, stick around. Hold on 1 second. I have a few more things I'd like to talk about. Your coverage of James Harden and what's going on with him down in Houston.
Have had some restraint. Like, we did a whole segment and you haven't asked me about the strip club story.
Oh, wait. Like, no. Man. Here comes. Let's do it. James Harden, the strip club, COVID, NBA game shutdowns. And what does Ramona think about cash as a gift? We're all going to find out together. It's Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ. Ramona's with us. This is 710 ESPN. Yeah,
ooh,
Scott Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ. Ramona Shelburne is here, senior writer for ESPN.com, but everybody knows Ramona Shelburne. Everybody knows Momo. Ramona, I want to ask you first, before I get to Harden, we were having a conversation earlier. Is cash an acceptable or good gift to give to your significant other? What do you say?
Oh, significant other.
Mm-hmm. Well, your husband.
Interesting. I would say no.
No.
I mean, I think gift cards are okay. Like, there's been a few years where I will get my husband, like, gift cards to, like, 5 different places. Like, I'll get him, like, 10 bucks to Carl's Jr. and 10 bucks to McDonald's and 10 bucks, you know, like, that's kind of a fun thing. But it's kind of, I mean, are we talking boyfriend or husband? Because, like,
well, first of all,
that's a little different, too.
What are you trying to do to this guy?
He loves fast food. I mean, when I met him, all he ate was, like, Hot Pockets and fast food.
Oy.
I mean, it's, like, one of my greatest personal achievements is to, like, he hasn't had a Hot Pocket in years. I was, like, I failed you as a wife if you're eating Hot Pockets all the time. Like, I like Hot Pockets, too, but I'm not, like, 18.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just not adult food.
I've actually graduated to cauliflower, you know, crusted pizzas now, you know.
So. Oh, gosh. No, I wouldn't do that either. I mean, if we're going to do the frozen, if you're going to do junk food, you should do junk food.
I understand.
Okay. Should really enjoy that.
So
I don't,
cash
I don't
no
restrict
good.
That.
Okay. Cash, no good.
I think cash is okay for, like, I think cash is okay for friends, but then that changes the nature of relationship sometimes. Like, that can be weird too. Like, hey, here's 100. Like, then it's like, are they insulted? I mean,
I think
for significant others, I think you've got to go gift card instead of cash.
I think you're right. All right, let me move on here. Ramona Shelburne is here. You've been tweeting all day long about James Harden. I want to hear the story as you know it from the beginning, if you could. So please, James Harden out breaking NBA protocols, COVID protocols. Can you take us from the very beginning, Ramona?
Yeah, well, here's what I think is interesting is they have to decide what, you know, from the very beginning, there's two separate things that are happening, okay? The Rockets have a couple of guys who have tested positive. So I think it's 3 players. And they've also, those 3 players were in contact with other players. So it's a total of 6 players, 3 who have tested positive and 3 who are in contact with them that need to be isolated. That's all part of the protocols. They, you know, this was set in motion. Then there's the James Harden situation where he's quote unquote unavailable because the league investigated the video of him that went around on Monday of him at what appeared to be a strip club. Now, my reporting on this is that Harden has told the league that he was at a friend of his, got promoted. I think she got to be promoted to be a manager or something. And she threw a party. Now, the first part of the party was at an indoor venue, but it wasn't the strip club. And that's where he was. Now, he entered through a separate entrance. And this is all part of what you're supposed to do in the protocol. He entered through the VIP entrance. He sat with, you know, a group that was supposedly apart from, you know, where everyone else was sitting. But look, there's photos of him without a mask on. It's not great. It's not great optics, you know, like, you know,
well,
now.
But who's telling this story? Like, oh, okay, so here's the deal. I had a friend who got promoted from assistant manager to manager.
Uh-huh.
So she was having a really big party. And here's what I did. I went to this party and I went in through the VIP entrance so that nobody could be near me. Mm-hmm. And I sat with my security detail at a separate table. No, you didn't. Why? I mean, this is a great story to tell, but nobody's believing it, are we?
I mean, look, there's video. So it's like this is his version of it. But I also think that, you know, the league's going to look at closed circuit video. They're going to look at all the they've interviewed. I've heard that they have interviewed witnesses, other people who were there that night. You know, who knows what whatever that means. OK, like it's just going to come back to whatever they whatever it turns out they, you know, they find whatever people tell them. Right. I mean, I think that's, you know, my sense of how that's going to go is whatever the witnesses say, whatever James says, they'll do that. And then they'll cross check it with other photos that they've been sent and other videos. Now, in James's what James has told the investigators is he was only at that dinner part for like 30 minutes. He gave the present, took a couple photos and left. And the girl, the friend in question, posted the video all together where it was like kind of edited all together. And it appears as if he was with them for the whole night when they were also at the strip club. Now, all the NBA has to do is authenticate this. You know, they have to this is his version of the story. And then the NBA has to see if there's evidence that either, backs him up or doesn't. Then they also have to make a decision about how high risk is that. And Scott, this is where it gets interesting. Okay. Yeah, you and me, I mean, you could not pay me to go to an indoor venue right now mm-hmm. and hang out with a lot of other people. No way. I go to my physical therapy and I wear two masks and a face shield and I'm like full PPE. And I come home and I change my clothes and I like wash my hands seven times. And I'm, you know, I don't even really like doing that, but I have a bad back and I got to work on it. Right. So, you know, doing that and maybe even that's like my risk tolerance. James Harden has already had COVID. Okay. He was late to the bubble. He tested positive for it. Doesn't mean you can't get it again, but I think it is a little less risky if you've already had it. Because you have antibodies, at least you've recovered from it. And if he truly was in a separate part of the restaurant where, you know, his was only unmasked for the photo op or whatever he says, maybe it's not as risky as it appeared in that video. Maybe that video was edited.
Doesn't his reputation, though, in some way precede him? Meaning,
yeah, of course.
Like everybody's heard about what kind of a selfish player he is, what kind of a mm-hmm. forget about just scoring on the court, but what kind of a selfish teammate he is. So if you think that is true, then you could see him. And by the way, the state of Texas, as an example, things seem to be wide open down there. I don't know exactly where he was. What do you know? Was he in the Houston area?
Yeah, I think it was the Houston area. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the life is different there than it is here. Mm-hmm. And so, again, reputation, my gut tells me that James is telling quite a story because James wanted to do whatever James decided he wanted to do. And he doesn't really care about everybody else. If he cared about everybody else, he'd be on time for things. He'd make sure that he's there for film study so that they don't have to watch it twice, or that he'd be there for the team flight so that they can get on to the next city. But I mean, to me, his reputation precedes him in a lot of this.
Well, I think what the problem is, I think what the problem is with this whole story is that James it's all conflated together. Okay. So this story with Harden is also a story about it's happening on the same day that the six other players can't play. Mm-hmm. So this means the Rockets game is postponed. The Harden story actually is not related. It shouldn't be related, right? Mm-hmm. It just happened to occur on the same day and now the game is postponed. But it also is on the heels of him going to little baby's birthday party with the Prada bag and the cash and the going to Vegas. And I mean, you know, at some point, optics matter. Okay. I have had friends who've had COVID. Like I have a friend, one of my best friends has COVID right now. Like he got it through what I thought it was a pretty risky interaction. And I was mad at him for doing that. And I was like, what are you doing? How could you mess up? And he says, you know, it's been 9 months of lockdown. You make mistakes. And I go, okay, well, there's a difference between making a mistake and openly flaunting things. Right. And whether or not James has had COVID again, in some ways, or has had COVID before, in some ways that's immaterial. It one, you could get it again. And two, it's the optics of it. The optics don't just matter for your situation with how you're going to get traded or how you want to be traded. The optics matter for because we're in the middle of a pandemic at the worst moment of it when the virus is raging uncontrollably and people are seeing you model, you know, out there and they think it's okay. If you're doing it, you're a role, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you are a role model.
Well, like, and you're also a representative of the league. Yeah. And, you know, Adam Silver talked before the tip that you know, the league was prepared to handle situations like this. They expected mm-hmm. it. I suspect that they did not expect it to be this early in the season. And so what the league has now is they've got an angry superstar trying to force his way out of a high-profile situation. Mm-hmm. And not that he's personally responsible for the cancellation or postponement of tonight's game, but he's a part of the story. And by the way, he's the star in the story. And he's mm-hmm. a sensational guy who's apparently in a nightclub. And he's got some, you know, what I think is a bogus story. But, you know, it's just the league doesn't want this. And they and you know, they're finding themselves having to deal with this here on night two.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the Lou Williams thing over the summer. I mean, why did they come down so hard on Lou Williams? He took a test every day he was away from the bubble. He, you know, was negative every time. You know why they came down on him? Because he wasn't where he said when he left the bubble, it was to attend a funeral. And stopping by the strip club on the way home from the funeral or while you're in town is just not part of, you know, it's not part of the deal. I know, and if they let him do that without an extra quarantine, then that's like a green light for everybody else. I mean, it just, yeah. And I think the Rockets are in a situation where Scott, and I think this is the biggest question is this out, you know, is this the three players there? Is this an outbreak or is this just three players? Is this going to, it's tomorrow? Are more of them going to test positive? Are there going to be more postponements of Rockets games? Because they have a game today. I think they have one the 26th, the 28th. I mean, you know, this could start mounting, right? This could, we've seen this in baseball. We've seen it in football. Like it's rarely just one game.
Well, I know. And it's why the NBA only put out the first half of the schedule. Ramona, listen, I'm going to say good evening to you. And I'm going to say, I know that you've got some Hanukkah. By the way, we should all
more
be
Hanukkah.
Yeah, we should be celebrating Chanukah with Kawhi Leonard. Did you happen to see, last thing, I know you got to hustle and we got to get the traffic.
Okay.
Did
yeah.
you see Kawhi last night as he's holding his knees and they took a picture of him and you see the top of his head and his cornrows? Did you see how much it looked like a menorah?
No, I got to go back and look.
Oh, my God. I've got to tweet this to you. I've got to tweet you this picture.
You got to send it to me, yeah.
You've got to see it. Oh,
that's
my God.
Awesome.
It is amazing. My brother Kawhi. I love it.
Love it. I mean, look, listen, when your two-year-old says more Hanukkah, I mean, I think at some point you just have to say, like, there's no rules,
no.
You know?
8 days, 16
days. 8 days,
16 right.
days. Doesn't hey, matter. I might still be doing this in February. More Hanukkah.
Ramona, it's great to talk to you. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks, Rick.
Stay healthy out there.
You
we'll
too.
Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere without at least two masks.
Have a good night, Ramona. Appreciate
See you,
great reporting today on this James Harden story. All right, coming up, I would like to talk about some Rams football. Rams and Seahawks, I'm going to get there. Plus, Kurt Warner on the NFL Network with some real criticism for Jared Goff. I'm going to get to that as well. I don't even want to say anything. I want to just get to it. Come on, turn it up. Yeah, Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ. We're all about to jam together. I mean, it's 5:48 in the afternoon. You're driving around. Traffic, for some reason, is ridiculous. Probably because everybody's out trying to get their Christmas shopping done the last second. Hold on, here we go. See, here we go. Now we're talking here. Yeah, Scott Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ. Although George Sedano is going to join us a little bit later on. Hey, I put a poll out and I posted it all over Twitter. Hopefully you're following me at Scott Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. Should Laker fans care about the opening night loss to the Clippers? Right now, 58% of you are saying no, they got their rings and they're playing their way into shape. While 41% of you are saying yes, the Clippers are for real and this is how they will look when they go head to head. I posted it on my Twitter page. It's at Scott Kaplan. Click on the link, get involved in this conversation, and give me the data that I need so I can explain to everybody this is how you're voting, okay? All right, along with producer Greg Bergman and Laura Romo running this operation, Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ. Now, guys, we've talked a lot of basketball today. We've talked about ring ceremony. We've talked about the actual game. We've talked about what happened in the earlier game between Brooklyn and Golden State. We've talked about the James Harden COVID outbreak with Houston, which canceled their game tonight against Oklahoma City. We've talked a lot of basketball so far tonight. Greg, I want to start talking my way into some football here, man. I'm going to start talking about some Rams and Seahawks because it was pretty interesting. You know, Kurt Warner is one of the all-time great Rams. He's also a really, really great NFL analyst, both on NFL Network and coverage of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. That's where I work with Kurt a lot. That's, I guess, a sort of a humble brag and sort of a name drop all in the same thing. And I didn't mean to sound so, you know, like so, but I did. Kurt Warner on Jared Goff. Laura, can you play for everybody what Kurt Warner said on the NFL Network about Jared Goff? Let's hear this.
Yeah, I am, Andrew. I'm just concerned about this offense because they're really good when they do what they want to do. And again, that's, you know, not a news flash there. Most teams are good when they do what they do best. When the Rams run the football and play action, they're really good. Jared Goff is really good in that type of scenario. When they fall behind and they have to drop back throw, when they have to spread it out and he's got to drop back and read the defense and pick a team apart, that is where this team and that is where Jared Goff struggles. And so that's why we see this tremendous inconsistency with this team, is that sometimes they come out and they look like world beaters because they're able to play within their scheme, and Jared Goff fits that scheme extremely well. But when teams can take that away, now you get really concerned because you say to yourself, well, if you can do that, any team can beat the Rams as well. And so I am concerned because you have to get more consistency away from your strength, Andrew. I'm a believer that once you get to the playoffs, the good teams are better at taking away what you do best, and you've got to find ways to win other ways. Can the Rams do that is my big question.
Yeah, it is a big question. Kurt Warner talking to Andrew Siciliano. And, you know, listen, I've been saying this for a lot of weeks now, that the Rams offense should be predicated on running the football. And we talk about Jared Goff and all the criticism that goes his way. I still, on many, many levels, look at the coaching staff and look at the play calling and say, guys, you gotta be dedicated and committed to the run. You can't just want to throw the ball every time. Down and distance and situational football is urgent. And even if you go back to this last week's game against the Jets, 3rd and 4 and 4th and 4 got picked apart. But there were lots of other moments in that game when the running game was working and penalties were negating big plays in the running game. And rather than sticking with the run, what did this coaching staff do? Went right to the pass. And then, of course, when you call the play, it's incumbent upon the player to actually execute, and that's where Goff struggled last week, to be sure. All right, I want to talk more Rams coming up and what a huge game it is against Seattle. But on the way, our man George Sedano will be stopping by. But coming up next, what you need to know. I'm curious what we need to know at this time of the evening. Do we have traffic coming up here, Greg?
Not this one. We'll do it at 6:10.
All right. Don't everybody mind me. I got 5,000 things going on at the same time. Okay. What you need to know is next. Kaplan in for Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN.